He will guide you. That's for you. You're not supposed to be left out alone like a boat just bobbing along on the sea. You get to receive heavenly guidance from someone who knows the end from the beginning, the maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And he will speak. He will speak. And he speaks today. Amen.
Welcome to the City Light Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today as we look into God's word and discover the hope and truth that he has for us. If you want to connect with City Light Church, feel free to visit us at citylightnyc.com. That's citylightnyc.com. Pastor Boyan Jancic and his team believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is already working in our hearts and minds. As you listen to today's teaching, remember that you are deeply loved by God, that you are surrounded by his grace, and that he has a real hope and a future for you.
Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? I'm going to continue with a part two to last week's message. I got some emails with some questions. I saw that some things, which often tends to happen, were misheard or misconstrued, some things that I said. And it's about a very important topic, hearing the voice of God, being led by the Holy Spirit. It's a very important topic because it seems to be the number one question Christians have all across the country, I believe the world. When you do surveys in mass, the number one question for every believer is, how can I be led by the Lord? How can I hear his voice? And God is alive and well, and he's still speaking today. In fact, the Bible says we're married to him. We have an intimate union with him. Imagine we were married on December 1st, 2012. Imagine if after I said I do, I gave my wife a series of letters, like a good stack of letters. And I say, darling, I've really poured out my heart in these letters. These letters contain all the information about me that you'll ever need. Here you go, and I'll see you. I'll see you later, like after we're both dead. I'll see you. That would be very cruel, wouldn't it? Yet that's how many people believe God treats us. Here's a book, and that's all you need to know. Yet the book is important, and nothing trumps the word of God. And anything you hear from the Lord has to be in a complete alignment with the written word of God. But he's still speaking today. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And what's going to happen in this spirit, in this service is the Holy Spirit is going to attune you so that you are a good receiver of his instruction, a good receiver of his guidance. Amen. So we sent out a survey. I might do this more often because the response was fantastic. So many people responded. And so I'm going to go through as many questions as I can that came in through the survey. You ready? Number one. And please note, at City Light, there's people at all different levels in their walk with the Lord. That's healthy. In fact, a healthy church should have a good bunch of unbelievers. They shouldn't be unbelievers for long. If they can sit under the anointing forever, then something's wrong. That's the annoying, not the anointing. But I mean, if you have a church of only advanced Christians, that just tells me one thing. You haven't gotten anybody saved in the last 5 to 10 years. So different people at all different levels. Keep that in mind when someone asks you out on a date. This is what I always have to tell the sisters in church. So-and-so, and he's a Christian. He goes to City Light. That's fine, you know. I go to McDonald's. It doesn't make me a Big Mac. So they go to City Light, but where are they in their maturity? So different people, all different levels of maturity, and some of these questions are reflective of that, and that's okay. We welcome that. Question number one. How can I ask the Spirit of God to guide my daily path and my family's daily path? My mom, dad, and sister. Great question. And I will answer this question the way I would answer any question that has to do with asking God for something. Whenever you want to ask God for something, you got to make sure it's his will. How do you know it's his will? His word is his will. So you have to go and find scripture that covers what you're asking of God. In this instance, guidance. The question is, how do I ask God for guidance? Well, you go to God with his word. You go to God with his word concerning guidance. You first get it in your spirit. you memorize it, you internalize it, you meditate on it. Now you'll have faith for guidance. Here's some scriptures that you can use. Isaiah 58:11. So let's just say you're new to the Lord, or you've been around the way for a while, but this truth hasn't been known to you. You didn't even know that God can speak to you, that he can lead you into good success. These scriptures on my prompter here are like two-point font. So if you can just... I'm going to go cross-eyed if I try to read them from the monitor. The Lord will guide you continually. Ah! My faith has already increased. The Lord will guide you. So you make it in the first person. The Lord will guide me continually. The Lord will guide me continually and satisfy my soul in drought and strengthen my bones. I shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So when you're in a place of confusion, when you're in a place of spiritual loneliness and you don't know what to do, then shout out. There's got to be a shout. It's not so much about decibel level as it is the conviction in your spirit. Satan's not afraid of Mickey Mouse Christians. There's some men, they're strong in the natural. They can assert themselves. They're movers and shakers in the world. But then they go to pray, and it's Mickey Mouse. Oh, Lord, here I come, coming to you again. Can you maybe give me some guidance? Maybe lead me in Jesus' name, amen. They quickly have to say amen to bounce out, because anything can happen in the presence of God. Get that Mickey Mouse out your spirit. Make it personal. This is for you. Every scripture is for you. You say, no, that's talking about Israel. You're Israel. You're a child of Abraham. You're spiritual Israel. You're the nation of God. You're his precious people, his precious possession, the called out ones. The Lord will guide me continually. So the question is, how do I ask for guidance? You come to God with his word and you say, Lord, you said in your word, you will guide me continually. In Jesus' name, I thank you for guidance. I thank you that I will hear you. I thank you that I'll be in the right place at the right time. I will be in the perfect center of your will. I will do whatever you tell me to do. You make it so, Lord. Amen? Amen. John 16:13. I'm going to give like 3 verses to answer this question. That's not because I need any filler material. I do that for 2 reasons. One, because I want to hammer the point home, you know? Sometimes I just want to stuff you like a Thanksgiving turkey full of the Word of God. Once you're coming out, the Word of God just coming out. 2, I'm giving you scriptures that have been life to me that I believe you should not just memorize, but meditate on. Let the word become flesh. Let him be a part of you. Because a big and common satanic attack is telling people, well, God doesn't talk to you. You're just a mess. You're just a ball of confusion. And you mishear God. And you receive that lie and partner with that lie. And then you wonder why you're not getting instructions from heaven. The way you overcome a lie is with the truth. There's no greater truth than the word of God. Jesus saying, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. He will guide you. He will guide you. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not. What's that next word? Speak. A little bit louder now. Speak. A little bit louder now. Speak. Hey. Speak. Speak. There's arguments about, does the Lord still speak today? He will speak. Or he says, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, 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 speak. He will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Hallelujah. So 2 things out of that. He will guide you. That's for you. You're not supposed to be left out alone like a boat just bobbing along on the sea. You get to receive heavenly guidance from someone who knows the end from the beginning, the maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And he will speak. He will speak. And he speaks today. Amen. Isaiah 48:17. Hallelujah. I didn't do that so well. If I had an organ behind me, I would have done that much better. But without the proper instrumentation, see, I'm all off and comes across not good. I gotta work on that. Gotta watch Eddie Murphy some more. No, I'm still. Coming to America. When I got saved, I went to a church like that. That was a church I got saved in. But just a few weeks before that, I'd seen Coming to America. And I walked into that church, and the pastor, amazing man of God, anointed to the bone, but was preaching just like Eddie Murphy when he was playing the preacher in Coming to America. And the people that brought me, I was like, this is just like Coming to America. I didn't know that was a thing. I thought it was a thing from... Sometimes I overshare from the pulpit, but what do? You know, eat the hay, spit out the sticks. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. This is one of my favorite verses concerning the guidance of the Lord. The Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. God essentially told Joshua, if he will get into the word of God, he would make his way prosperous. Not that God would make his way prosperous, but that by ingesting the word of God, Joshua would make his way prosperous because of the word of God in him, and he would have good success. Too many believers don't really, in their heart of hearts, even believe that what God wants them to have good success. They believe he wants them, you know, just exist, have mediocrity, and then, and then you go up, and then you get to enjoy life. But he wants you to have success. Now, when I say success, what do you think of? Yeah. Chris is gonna, deliverance team, I want you to meet with Chris Power after service. Now, you were in the first service, weren't you? Dog, you. He's in the first service. He shouted out Bentley, because I said in the first service, when I think of success, what do you think of? A guy in, you know, an $8,000 suit standing in front of a Bentley with 100 stacks in his hand. Success, here's the biblical definition for success. A desired outcome. You partner with God. He puts a desire in your heart. You go at it with God, and you actually cross the finish line and actualize that thing. That's success. And God wants you to have good success. City Light Church may be a not-for-profit organization, but we're very profitable. Not financially, well, yeah, financially too, but not only financially, where it really counts, souls. He says he would teach you to profit. He would lead. He would lead. He would lead you by the way you should go. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So that is my very simple answer to how can I ask the Spirit of God to guide me daily? Amen. That's all I was waiting for. Now question two. Thank you. Question two. When obeying the Spirit of God, will there always be good fruit from that decision? That is a great question. It is a great question because the knee-jerk answer would be to say, of course, God is speaking. If God is speaking, it's going to bear fruit. And it's, I mean, Pastor just got finished saying God wants you to have good success and prosper. And so if you listen to the voice of God, you'll immediately enter into that, right? Wrong. The answer is, in the long term, on a long enough time horizon, it will always result in great fruit and great success. But in the short term, you might appear like a complete failure. In fact, sometimes it tends to go that way because you're being tested. I'll give you a scriptural example. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh, had a dud of a church service. A very, very bad evangelistic crusade. Read it for yourselves. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus goes back to Nazareth. Now, was Jesus always led by the Father? Absolutely. He said, I don't even do anything unless I see the Father do it first. So Jesus, much more so than any preacher on earth or any Christian on earth, was 100% led by the Holy Ghost. Yet, the Holy Ghost led him into Nazareth, where they didn't respect him, they didn't honor him. They said, oh, we know him, we know his brothers, his sisters. Isn't this the carpenter's kid? They didn't honor him, and it says Jesus could not do there any mighty works. It doesn't say he would not do there. Like, he got stuffy and said, well, forget you guys now. No, he could not, because there was no faith. He could not do any mighty works, except that he healed a few sick folk. That's a dud. That's a failure of a meeting. Yet, God led him to that. So, on the surface, it looks like, oh, a failure. And even his very crucifixion, I mean, someone just took a photo of that and said, look at that. What a failure. I mean, he was really riding a good wave there for a while, and then they put him up on a cross and killed him. But then came the resurrection. And then came great fruit, so much so that we're here praising the name of Jesus Christ because of all the fruit. Hallelujah. So short term, it could look like a failure. But long term, obeying the voice of God will always result in great fruit. That's what we want, is the leading and guiding of the Lord in our lives. Hallelujah. Question three. Questions 3 through 7, they didn't come in this way, but I grouped them this way. Because they're all essentially the same question. And this is the most common question that you'll get, one version of this or another, when it comes to hearing the voice of God, being led of the Holy Spirit. Anything under that banner. I mean, isn't that a good question? How do I really know it's from God? How do I really know it's from God? Number 4. Is it the Spirit leading or is it my own idea? How to know the difference? Great question. You see the similarity between this question and the previous question. Number 5, also in the same vein. Great question. How to differentiate my emotions from the voice of God? Question 6. How not to confuse God's quiet voice inside of you with your own? And then finally, question 7, which is my favorite question of all. I don't know which one of you wrote this. If you're here right now, God bless you. I love this question. Very similar to all the other questions, but it's just very raw. For real, for real. Just, I mean, this is how you want to, this is how God wants you to ask him questions. Just like this, the way this is written. How do you really, really, like for real, know it's God and not your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. I know that if it aligns to his word, that's one way. This person is on the right track. They understand what a soul is. And they understand that whatever you claim to hear from the spirit realm, what you claim to hear from God, it has to align with the word of God. It has to. When somebody gets in rebellion or gets traumatized or gets hurt, they'll hear all sorts of things and say it's God. There's wackadoo men that'll go out there and invite all sorts of spirits into their heart and then go, the Lord told me to divorce my wife. No, he did not. He's not going to contradict his word. Amen. A mightier amen next time to a crazy example like that. Please. This is a crazy example, but it's a real life example. I know that if it aligns to his word, that's one way, but some stuff is not found in his word, like, should I leave New York, LOL. This is awesome. A question 80% of us have had. And the other 20%, your time is coming. You're not a true New Yorker until you've been tempted to leave at least 10 times. You're just playing games, you're new. You're still in the romance phase. You gotta go through the hard times. That's when you know your marriage to New York is solid. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is how I'm going to answer this question. Understanding this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This verse got opened up to me in 1996. I was 20 years old. Saved at 16, for 4 years I was struggling and wondering, how does God speak? You know, because you do have Christians who run around, God told me, God told me, God told me. And you wonder, you're afraid to ask, how did he tell you? What does his voice sound like? Can you record him next time? I want to hear myself. This verse is a key if you want to hear from the Lord and he wants to talk to you. He loves you. He made you. He died on the cross for you. You can have an intimate relationship with him. You have to understand this verse, and that's understanding that we as humans are tripartite beings. You know, in the world, people intertwine the word soul and spirit all the time. I love you with all of my heart and all of my soul and my spirit. And, you know, just what they're saying is these are just mystical things, intangible things, and they're all just put in the same category. No. This is very, very important, very different. Your spirit, that's the real you. You have a human spirit. Even in pagan cultures, even in Asian pagan cultures, you understand that the source of your strength, your chi, whatever you want to call it, whatever energy, it's in your belly. It's in the center of man. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow forth rivers of living water. Out of your spirit, not the Holy Spirit, your human spirit, that is the real you. You are a spirit. The Holy Spirit will come when you give your life to Jesus and live inside of your human spirit. But you are a spirit that has a soul. What is the soul? From the Greek psuche, where we get psyche from. Soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your spirit, it doesn't need any further cleansing. It's thoroughly cleansed by the blood of Jesus. There's not one speckle or spot of sin in your spirit. Your spirit is completely accepted by God. Your soul, because it's picked up all the nonsense of the world, that needs help. Your soul will tend to side with the flesh and with Satan. So if somebody doesn't have a renewed mind, and the only way to renew your mind is with the Word of God, they won't be good at hearing the voice of God. They'll hear the voice of their own soul. That's why there's people who, if they've been beat up by religion, whenever they go to hear from God, they actually hear God condemning them. They go, God is so angry with me. God is so mad at me. I know one fella, he'd say, God just said, you stupid jerk, you need to get your acts together. He said that. Intelligent guy. Successful guy. And convinced that that's what God was saying. Meanwhile, it probably sounded just like the voice of both of his parents or one of his parents. And that got in his soul. And now his soul is filtering. The Lord is saying, I love you. I love you. You're mine. And when it passes through his unrenewed mind, he hears, you jerk, you need to really get your act together. Do you see how this works? So your soul needs to be renewed with the word of God. What about your flesh, your body? Well, that you just consider it dead is what the Bible says. Your flesh, that unregenerate part of you, was nailed to the cross of Christ, and you need to just believe that it's crucified there with him. Your spirit man is great. Your soul needs to be renewed by the word of God, and you can see all that in the scripture. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Amen. Note that he's the Holy Spirit who lives inside your human spirit. He's not the holy brain who lives inside your cranium. And I've heard Christians who'll say, I heard God, I heard God. No, really, I heard this voice in my head. Stop right there. Stop listening to voices in your head. There's hospitals all over New York City with padded rooms filled with people who hear voices in their head. God is not a voice in your head. He's in your spirit. Amen. Amen. If you're hearing voices in your head, we have a prayer team after service. We would love to lay hands on you and pray for you and with you. I mean it. Hallelujah. No, I mean it. I'm not making light of it. I mean it with all my heart. Hebrews 5:14. We're answering the question of how do you know it's God versus your own emotions, right? Your own soul. Well, one thing is, I like to, whenever I'm asking God for something, make sure that I'm in neutral. Not to be worked up myself about it. Like when it was time for this house move, I made sure I was in neutral. I made sure I held everything loosely, because if I really, really want it so bad, I'm going to put words inside God's mouth. So I want to make sure I'm in neutral. I'm like, Lord, whatever. And you got to be sincere. If you think you're tricking God, you're only tricking yourself. Lord, I'm really whatever you want. I'm in neutral. Now speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Is it your will that I fill in the blank? But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. I'm still answering the same question. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You can exercise your spiritual senses. See, I was never taught this. It seemed like you either had the gift of hearing from God, and let me tell you something, a lot of Christians, they really need healing in their souls, because they so want affirmation, they so want validation, they so want to be counted as one of the spiritual, that they will quote God. God told me, in quotes, and they'll write out a paragraph. I'm like, wow. You could write a whole paragraph of what God told you? That is some specificity right there. Because God has communicated whole paragraphs to me, never in paragraph format. God, when he speaks, it can be a whole paragraph of information. You just know it. And I can't quote him. And you look at their quote, and if they're from the South, it has a Southern twang in it. No, it's true. If they're from the hood, God is speaking in another dialect. If they're, and everything, what does that tell you? It's their soul. Oh, man. How did I get on that? Somebody needed to hear that. And I'm just trying to take the spook out of this and expose the nonsense that goes on out there. And then other people get intimidated and go, wow, I can never do that. You can have your spiritual senses exercised. That's what I was saying. Nobody taught me that. It seemed like you either had the gift of instantly hearing or not at all. But you can exercise your spiritual senses. Now, may I give you some wise counsel and encourage you to start off small as you begin exercising? You know when you take off from the gym for a few years? Ever do that? I know I have. And you go back. You don't immediately slide on all the 45-pound plates and start deadlifting 500 pounds. You start off small, maybe just the bar, just to work on that form again. But people will hear a message like this and get excited that God still speaks and go out alone in their room and come back the next Sunday and say, God told me to move to Timbuktu. I'm supposed to be a missionary there. Whoa, hold your horses. Maybe you don't want to go on such a pivotal, life-changing, directional word so quickly. I mean, you're not even employed. Why don't you tell me what the Lord is telling you about your job situation? Let's see how that works out. Really. And get a history. Get a track record. Get good at hearing the voice of God by exercising your spiritual senses. You know why most people don't do that? Because they're afraid of missing it. They're afraid of mishearing God's voice. But those are victories too. You're gonna mishear God's voice. I know I have. You have two choices when you do. You can pretend it never happened, which is what most Christians do. Why do we do that? So many Christians. I know if you've been around any church for a while, you know that one Christian who they're always like cross-eyed. God told me. And you go, but the last 10 times God told you, your life got messier and messier. There's nothing about your life that I want to emulate. Yet nobody I know hears from God more than you, right? Oh, God. This is how I lose, babe, more good members. This is how I lose them. This is. Sarah, don't send me any emails that come in this week. I'm taking a week off. I've missed it. So when you miss it, you got to go and ask yourself, why did I miss it? Was I emotional? Why did I think that was God? Oh, maybe I didn't check in with a few people. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You get good at hearing the voice of God. You get better and better. Did I offend you, son? I know I'm so much nicer at home, and then the crazy comes out at the altar. Funny how that works. You want to train your human spirit. One of the best ways to train your human spirit to hear accurately from heaven, number one, is to get the written word of God in you. Every time you get the written word of God in you, you're making a deposit into your well, and you're giving God something to withdraw from. I'm still answering the question, how do I know it's me versus God? Or how can I decipher between my own voice and God's voice? When I first started hearing the voice of God, one of my biggest shocks was it comes from within. It's very similar to the voice of your conscience. This voice, it's not a different voice. The Lord is using your spirit. That's the relay station. So even the world will call it, my gut is telling me, the voice of my conscience. The voice of your conscience is the voice of your spirit, your human spirit. And that's what you will hear it in. So quit looking for an echoey voice with a Hebrew accent. To train your human spirit, get in the Word. Two. You know what I find when I do this for like 20 minutes and instantly it's prophetically completely different. Soak. What is soaking? Soaking, there's a lot of synonyms for the term soaking. There is meditative prayer, soaking prayer, be still and know that I'm God prayer. The old timers, I don't mean like 1950s old timers, I mean like 13th century old timers, used to call it contemplative prayer. That's when you're praying but not speaking. You're just being silent. I'll go into my office, lay down for 20 minutes, and just be silent. I resist the urge to say anything. It's very uncomfortable, actually. Resist the urge to do anything. Your mind will drift. It's okay. Just bring it back to Jesus when you see it drifting. And just be with him. And you will feel absolutely unproductive. That's what you're going to feel. Feel like that was nothing. We like to do. But just do that, and you will feel unproductive, but something would have happened on the inside. Your spirit's like a tuning fork, and now you're tuning in to the vibration of heaven. You may not hear anything during your soaking time. You may not hear anything immediately after your soaking time. But as you're turning on the faucet in your kitchen sink, 6 hours later, all of a sudden God speaks. Or the next day when you're walking your dog. Or a week later. But these are ways to train the human spirit. Another way to train the human spirit is to instantly obey the voice of your spirit. If you're constantly negating the voice of your spirit, you will quiet that voice. There's some people, they don't even hear the voice of their own conscience. The Bible talks about that. It says having a conscience seared. When you keep pushing down and ignoring the voice of your conscience, you won't hear it anymore. That's why there are some quote-unquote Christians, they'll be doing lines of coke and going, God, isn't God so awesome? God, and you'll go, you know, there's a little, incongruity between your love for God and what you're doing right now, before me, right now. How do you explain that? No, God is fine with it. Well, you think he's fine with it because you shoved down the voice of your conscience for so long, now you don't even hear it anymore. And you cannot be led by the Holy Spirit who lives inside of your spirit if you've eliminated the voice of your conscience. A little eerily quiet. Nevertheless, we press on. This is not for the new believer. This is for the the one who's given their life to Jesus fully. Fully, you're surrendered. Your heart's cry is, Lord, you're Lord of everything, and all I want is what you want from me. Now, when that person comes to me and goes, how do I know it's not me? I mean, I keep thinking this. How do I know it's not just me? I would say, well, what's wrong with just you? Listen now. God said, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, God will cause you to will, to want to, and to do after his good pleasure. When your life is surrendered to the Lord, genuinely, you're surrendered to the Lord, God will make it so that what you're wanting is what he's really wanting. So someone says, how do you know this is God? Because I keep thinking it. Over and over, weeks go by, months go by. I'm bringing it before the Lord, and I still keep thinking. Then I push it away, and I'm like, Lord, I'm not even gonna. And then I wake up, and I'm thinking, and it's like the Lord. And when you're in an intimate place with the Lord, you're like, Lord, you are flooding me with your desire. I keep thinking this thing. I believe you want me to go ahead and do this thing. Because he's willing you. When you're in a place of surrender and abandon to the Lord, this is how he'll start talking to you. He's willing you to desire and to do his good pleasure. This is why the early apostles, you know how they made decisions? Lots of different ways, but one of the ways was they said it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. What a beautiful way of discerning the will of God. They didn't say God appeared in bodily form before us. We heard his audible voice. There was thunder in the sky. The top of the mountain smoked. No, they just said, we made this major directional decision. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Like we were walking in such relationship and intimacy with the Lord, and we said, we're going to go this way, and the Holy Spirit never said no. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. When you're in a place of intimacy with the Lord, you can tell, listen to this now, you can tell the will of the Lord just as much by what he doesn't say as what he does say. This is important. Some people really love the Lord and they really want his will. But because they never hear the Lord say, do this, they get crippled and never move. I'm talking to some singles here right now. They get crippled. And the Lord may not tell you, ask so-and-so out on a date or move to such and such town. But you are surrendered to him. And why don't you start thinking about it? Why don't you start just making some small decisions and see if the Lord corrects you or reins you in, pulls you back. And if you get no red light, what he's saying is, well, you just go ahead and do this thing. I'm with you wherever you go. It seems good to you and the Holy Ghost to do this thing. Hallelujah. Is this helping any people this morning? Hallelujah. God is good. But it's important to get that track record, exercise your spiritual senses, get better at hearing him. Question 8. Why don't I feel connected? Two reasons why, quote unquote, you don't feel connected. Because you're condemned, number one. And number two, because you're relying on your feelings. Next question. No, just kidding. No, go back to 8. Whoever that is, I had this question for years. Because I'm from the Balkans. I'm a feeler. I like to feel. I felt good. I felt bad. Good is better. I choose good every time, right? Who wants to feel bad or feel nothing? I want to feel God. He feels great. And sometimes I don't feel connected. What to do then? Well, there's two reasons. I've studied this out. Trust me, this wasn't a quick answer. I've deep dove into this. Number one, when you don't feel connected, you're feeling condemned. Not by God. Do you know if you're in Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? It is utterly impossible for God to condemn you because you and all your sin has already been condemned in Jesus. That's good news. So you say, what is that condemning feeling? That's the voice of your own spirit, recoiling perhaps at something you did. It's not God condemning you, But you go out and do something sinful, your own spirit is going to be saying, bleh. And people go, I know God is disgusted with me. No, you're disgusted with you. The real you goes, bleh. But God doesn't turn his nose up at you. God loves you. Doesn't mean he's excusing the sin. Doesn't mean he loves the sin, but you he loves. But you're condemned. Not by God, by either your own spirit or Satan. His literal name means Ha-Satan, the accuser, the condemner of the people of God, of the brethren. And he works overtime. Condemnation kills. He works overtime. He comes and whispers to you. You're just not enough. It's always you're not enough. When I was in my early years seeking after God, pursuing him to get into the pastorate, I was a legalist. Because I was serious about my calling. So I took great pride in how much I prayed, how much I studied, how much I evangelized. And there were times I still didn't feel God. And I would go, you know, last week I felt you, but why not this week? What sins have I done? I go, okay, there's no sins that I did. So no sins of commission. Ah, but what about sins of omission? Maybe I didn't read enough. Maybe I didn't pray enough. Maybe I didn't evangelize enough. I'm not enough. I'm never enough. And that's why you have nutty people in the church. Because secretly they're always feeling not enough. And they're always feeling condemned. And this is why people leave the church. They'll give you all sorts of reasons why they left, starting with me and something offensive I said. But really, what the real reason is they hate to feel condemned. That's why when Christians backslide, nobody backslides like a Christian backsliding. They go crazy. And it's like the more on fire you are, then when you backslide, like sinners look at you and go, ugh, take it easy. You're really like knocking yourself out now. Can you just keep the sinning at like, you know, a healthy level 6, 7? You're 10 and beyond. They go wild. They're trying to escape that voice of condemnation that's not from God, that's from Satan. And in trying to escape that voice of condemnation, they go, well, you know what? Forget it all anyway. Might as well just do the deep dive into that lake of sin. It's interesting, isn't it? So why don't you feel God? Two reasons. One, you're living in condemnation. You need to stop living in condemnation. The blood of Jesus is the answer to condemnation. You need to realize that it is legally, scripturally impossible. If you are trusting in Christ for your righteousness, you're saved, you're a Christian, you are not condemned by God. There is therefore now no condemnation. In the Greek means there is now no condemnation, not now, nor can there ever be condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Two, why don't I feel connected? Is because you're too feely. And you gotta ignore it when you don't feel connected. Because here's what the word says, that you are in him and he is in you. How much more connected can you get than you and him and you? I love it when I feel that connection. And yeah, there's some things I can do. If I'm having a rough day and I go, all right, you know what? I'm having a 15-minute worship sesh, just me and Jesus. I start worshiping him, and then I start singing out loud, and I start singing in tongues. I'm going to feel more connected. 9 out of 10 times. I will say there's sometimes still I'll do that, and it's like, man. But you just ignore that. Sometimes you feel him. Sometimes you don't. I love feeling him. Yeah, that was it. Hallelujah. You know, that other question came up I didn't actually add to my list, but similar to this, one of the questions was, what do I do when I haven't heard from the Lord in so long? The first thing you do is go back and see what the last thing he told you to do was. Why is God not offering up fresh information? Because you didn't do anything with the last information. So he's not going to offer up new information when you've done nothing with the previous information. Hallelujah. 9. Has nothing to do with hearing the voice of God, but I like the question. I don't know how, what tone this is, but I read it as, is he ever angry? Like, you preach so much on the love of God. Is he ever angry? Because if you've been around the church for a while, then the immediate answer should be, not this church, but the church. Yeah, he's angry. You kidding me? Like 98% of his job is being angry. Didn't you read the Bible? Cities were burnt down. Grounds opened up and swallowed rebellious people. He's in the angry business. And don't you anger him. I answer this question two ways. Is he ever angry? To the born-again believer, washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, the answer is never. To the person who's outside of Christ, who hasn't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the answer is always. Both of those things at the same time are true. And I'll show it to you from the scriptures. John, I believe, 3:36. You know it's good because it's just 20 verses after John 3:16. And Jesus was on fire when he was preaching this sermon. You know it's good. John 3:36, is he ever angry? He who believes in the Son has the wrath of God. No, has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. Because God's wrath is exercised against all sin. Now, to those who are outside of Jesus, this is, by the way, why City Light Church exists. This is why we ask you to invite your friends. This is why I'm here preaching the gospel. To give humanity the solution to their predicament, which is the wrath of God is on you. It's like an umbrella over your head that you take with you everywhere you go. It's the wrath of God is on you. And when you die, you will see the full culmination of that wrath if you die outside of Christ. But to the one who's in Jesus, it is, call it legally, mathematically, theologically, impossible for there to be God's wrath on you. Why? Because his full wrath was exhausted on the body of Jesus at the cross. So what about the Christian who really rebels and does wrong? Well, God's not happy about that behavior, but the wrath of God is not on them. And you go, no, but bad stuff happened to them after that. That's not the wrath of God. That bad stuff is just the natural consequences to their own sin. You don't know what the wrath of God is. The wrath of God comes, you're dust, you're a vapor. You always smell is just a little bit of smoke and you're gone. Yeah. But it's interesting that people have this question. Is he ever angry? I've had marvelous falls in my serving the Lord. For the record books, horrible stuff. I don't say that. I say that half joking, but no, it's true. Who hasn't, right? Who can here go, oh, my walk with the Lord has been flawless. But do you know, I never ever, when I would go to the Lord, I'd be self-condemning, I never once received anger from him. Never once. Neither will you see that in the scriptures. If you want to dig in the old covenant before the blood of Jesus was shed, you'll see plenty of it. But we're not under the old covenant. You know not what spirit you are of if you're digging into the old covenant. Under the new covenant, you get the solution for your sin. The thing that'll empower you to come out of sin, and that's grace. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:6. This is really good. Why did I include this in a message on how to hear from heaven? Because if you think that God is angry with you, you're not going to hear from heaven. Or you'll mishear from heaven. You won't hear accurately. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God. So is God ever angry? Yes. With the unbeliever, always. With the believer, never. The wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Do I got any sons of disobedience in the house today? No, you're Christians. You're saved. You're blood washed. And if you came in here and you go, I don't know if I am, awesome. Come up to the altar after service. I want to talk to you. Yeah. Anybody here? The ministry team, we'll talk. We will lead you into the things of God. Yeah. Or you can keep hanging out, join a life group, maybe come, don't get baptized, but check it out. That's all cool too. Kick the tires on this vehicle called Christianity, see what it's all about. Just don't wait too long. The devil loves to say tomorrow. Hallelujah. This verse is obviously not talking about believers, it's talking about unbelievers. How much do I believe this? That's what this tattoo is. You know what cups are a symbol of in the Bible? The wrath of God. Over and over again, cups are the wrath of God. And this is an upside down cup. The wrath of God has been poured out completely. Not on you though, because God loved you so much. He came in the person of man, in humanity as Jesus Christ, and took that wrath in your place. What a love story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 10, I'm thinking worship team should come up. We have a few more, but yeah. I want to give an opportunity for the Lord to massage your spirit. Talk to you, bring comfort to you, bring you guidance. It may not happen in this service, by the way. But if you will reach out to him, it'll happen after the service. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but after. You know what the most important thing when it comes to hearing the voice of God is? The most important thing is wanting only what he wants, a surrendered heart. That's the most important thing. When someone has that heart attitude, I don't worry about them. When someone is scheming and wanting to do their own thing, but wanting to bring God into it, I'm very concerned about that person. You know what? I only have one more question left. That's not the question I'm going to choose. It's a good question. I want to do 15 and 16 and end with that, because those are important also. Can you ever hear God's voice in an audible way? And then do question 16, kind of long, but Pastor Bo slightly answered this in Sunday's preaching, but I still wanted to ask, do people really hear his actual voice coming from like the sky or the air? I came from a very scarring place where everything told to me was, God told me, God says, and thus says the Lord. I always felt inadequate because I never heard an external voice telling me things. And then when I didn't believe it was happening to other people, I felt like maybe I was the one who was wrong. They're both the same question. Can God speak in an audible voice? Obviously, he's God. In Numbers, he spoke through Balaam's donkey. And there's like over 25 different ways you'll find throughout the Bible that he speaks. But I have sat at the feet of great men of God with 50 plus years of ministry experience. That's a lot of exercising your spiritual senses. And you know what they'll say? They'll say, I heard the audible voice of God maybe once, maximum twice in my ministry. It's not frequent. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's different than the voice of your own spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit is stronger and more authoritative, and it's like a lightning bolt of life and joy and direction hitting you all at the same time. It's so wonderfully jarring that you'll think it was audible. But like if I had a tape recorder out, I wouldn't have caught anything. I'm not sure I even want to hear the audible voice of God. The audible voice of God, you know, the Bible says it splits the cedars of Lebanon. But also, if I hear the audible voice of God, that means I was so rebellious for so long, God couldn't get through to me with all the other ways he speaks internally. He had to come with his audible voice. May I not be that stubborn and stiff-necked. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I'm a child of God. I'm his sheep. I hear his voice. God's direction, it leads me into a place of plenty, into a place of prosperity, into a place of good success. I believe the Holy Spirit guides me into all truth, and he speaks. He speaks. He speaks to me. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the City Light Church Podcast. If you've missed any part of today's message, or if you would like to find out more about Pastor Boyan Jancic and City Light Church, visit us at citylightnyc.com. That's citylightnyc.com. Feel free to visit us online or in person anytime. We would love to connect with you. We pray that you have been encouraged today, that you have been reminded how much God loves you, and that you are surrounded by grace. Thank you for listening. Make sure that you subscribe to City Light Church Podcast wherever you find your favorite podcasts worldwide.